This is a weekend of first. Last night we had the first meeting here in the new assembly, the new chapel, and I was privileged to be the first one to open the word of the Lord, and first one to do this. And this is the first Lord's Day meeting. Broke bread in here this morning for the first time. And it is another first which just occurred to me because I believe Brother Bob Willie this morning did the first thing I ever heard of, and that is he mentioned the word denomination from an assembly platform. He said you can get these bonds and denominations of 25 and 50 and 100 and 1,000. I think that's the first time I've ever heard the word denomination mentioned from an assembly platform. It recalled to mind the story found in the Reader's Digest several years ago about the young lady in Georgia that was planning to go on a vacation, and she went to the bank to get some traveler's checks, and the teller said, "Yes, ma'am, what denomination?" And she said, "Why, Baptist, of course." So we've had the word denomination mentioned. Also, it's a real personal pleasure for us to meet again Miss Emily Schlunden. Miss Schlunden was one of my teachers at the Nyack Missionary College up at Nyack, New York, way back about 1949. And we students greatly admired her perseverance and her dedication to the things of the Lord, because, as I recall, Miss Schlunden has never learned how to drive an automobile. And she would come from, I believe, Tuxedo. And she would come by Greyhound bus over the mountains between where she lived and Nyack, and get off the bus downtown, and somebody would go down and meet her and bring her up. And she did this whether it was raining or snowing or sleeting or blizzard, whatever the case might be. We know that there would be no reason for class to be called off. Miss Schlunden would be there. That was way back 1949, I guess. And she taught us biblical psychology, and she took it mostly from the Psalms. Wonderful, wonderful study, not only in psychology, but also a wonderful time of studying the Word of God together. And now Miss Schlunden is here. Tell us. And we would like to study that together tonight, Lord willing, at 7:30. The best way to get folks to go to a church meeting. But now this morning we find ourselves in Psalm 107. Psalm number 107. We'd like to read the first 32 verses, which is a rather lengthy passage of Scripture. But all of these verses are necessary to our study this morning because they complete a whole. There's one whole unit of study in these first 32 verses of Psalm 107, and it's necessary that we should read them this morning hour. Before we read and study it, let's ask the Lord's blessing upon it. Our Father, we have gathered ourselves together here again this morning in this thy house on this thy day. Grateful, Father, for the fact of gathering together with those of like faith and like mind. Thanking thee and praising thee this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, we do thank thee for the fellowship of the saints which begins in this life and goes on throughout all the endless ages of eternity. And Father, we pray thee that in this service this morning that thou mightest have thine own way by the Holy Spirit. Father, if there is one or several who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, that thy Holy Spirit might present unto them the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ, cause them to know that they are sinners apart from the Lord Jesus, but that he died that they might have eternal life. Father, we pray thee that thy Holy Spirit shall work to this end. For those of us here, Father, this morning that have trusted Christ the Savior, we pray thee that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray thee that after this very busy week that we have had together, that thou mightest put from our attention all cares and duties that shall perhaps press upon us as we leave this place. And Father, for these moments which remain to us, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself might have the preeminence and that he might be the central one in all of our thinking and meditation this morning. Again, Father, we thank thee for this opportunity of coming together We pray thy utmost blessing upon every meeting where the Lord Jesus Christ shall be uplifted and glorified this morning. In meetings large and small, we pray thee, our Father, great success upon the word and great ingathering of souls this day. We should give thee praise, Father, for all that is accomplished, for we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, as I read through these 32 verses, I want you to see if you can locate four different classes of people mentioned here by the Holy Spirit. Four different classes of people. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake the bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Here we have the four classes of people. You'll note, first of all, perhaps, as we read through the Word of God, that there is a chorus that occurs again and again, these several times, in verse number 8, and in verse number 15, and in verse number 21, and in verse number 31. The recurring chorus over and over again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now we know that God doesn't repeat things in the Word of God simply to make the Bible a rather fat book. We know that God does not do as you and I do many times, and that is keep talking until we think of something to say. Every time God says something, it has some sort of meaning. And if you find some phrase such as this, wherein it's the same thing that God has said before, there must be a reason for it. Maybe what God says this time has a little shade of difference in meaning from what God has said before. And it does you good in your study to go back and see why God felt that he had to repeat this thing again. Now, he does this four times by the Holy Spirit here in this passage of Scripture. And yet, as you note that which goes before, you notice that the subject matter is different. In other words, then, we have these four classes of people, and I know that you have found them. First of all, we start out simply with that one that I call the homeless wanderer. And then you'll note again, you have the rebel against the words of God. Then you have the deathly wastrel, he who gives himself over to the pleasures of the flesh. And lastly, you will note, in this particular psalm, you have those who have a nodding acquaintance with God, who recognize the working of God and the powers of nature, but do not know him as their own personal Savior. You have these four classes of people in this psalm, but at the conclusion of each one of the classes, you have one of these choruses mentioned. Verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. And regardless of what their background has been, they have all come to the Lord, and they all come to the same chorus, word for word, exactly the same. Now, not only is the chorus exactly the same in this particular song, but they have all come to the Lord in exactly the same way. For the word of God says that they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. This too, you see, is repeated four different times. Now maybe, as was the case in the last group mentioned, maybe they were decent folks. Maybe they were respectable people. Maybe they were even religious people. They recognized the working of God in nature. They gave a certain amount of gratitude and of thanks unto God for leading them in this way and leading them in that way. But they came to the point where they found their religion wasn't going to be enough. And so they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all of their distresses. The same thing is true concerning the one who is the wastrel, the one who is the rebel against the Lord, and the one who is simply the wanderer from the ways of the Lord. Didn't make any difference whether they had been in deep sin or not. Didn't make any difference whether they had been what we call a big sinner or a little sinner, even though the Bible knows no such differentiation. They all came to the Lord in the same way, and as a result, they all sang the chorus in this song of the redeemed. Now, I like to call this the choir of the redeemed. And we can see them as they prepare to sing a celestial concert, but they have to do a little practicing beforehand. And so, first of all, we have the sopranos, and we hear them sing their particular verse. And they said, now this is the situation in which the Lord found us. We were wandering. Life had just beaten us right down to the nub. We found that there was no ambition to our lives. There was no incentive to go on living. We felt that life had given us a series of hard knocks. And we found that we weren't living, we were just existing, just wandering through life. Then one day the Lord found us. He gave purpose to our life, and he gave meaning to our life, and the Lord gave us a home, and the Lord established our going, and the Lord has put a song within our heart, and this gave meaning and direction to our lives. And this is our verse, and now we'll all join together in the chorus. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness to men. And then the altos have their particular verse that they sing, and they have a little bit of a solo in there, and then we all join together in the chorus. It's like the song leader does with us sometimes. He says, all right now, ladies, you all sing on the second verse, and then we'll all join together in the chorus. And the ladies sing their solo part, and maybe the men sing the third verse, and then we all join together in the chorus. This is that of which this psalm speaks. Now let's look at these things together. In the first place, we have this one who is simply the discouraged wanderer, and there are many of them in our society today. Folks that are just tired of swimming upstream. Folks that are tired of high prices and heavy taxes and perhaps many children running about and low income and poor standard of living, they feel as if no one cares. They feel as if life has passed them by. They feel as if there's no point in living. And we find them and they're just as low can be. They're discouraged. They're despondent. And what a joy it is, what a thrill to be able to go and to present to them the Lord Jesus Christ, one who loved them and gave himself for them, to present to them the Christ who lived as they are living. He said, do you know that he had not where to lay his head? This incarnate Son of God, whom all the angels of heaven rejoiced in and praised down through the centuries, and then the day came when he took upon himself the flesh of mankind, and he came down to Bethlehem, and where was he born? In Herod's palace? Oh, no. He was born in a stable, and his mother took him and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, and the first ones to come to herald his birth were the shepherds from the fields, and they came in, and they knelt down there at the manger and worshiped the Christ child. And he went forth, and he had to be ministered unto by women and men and other folks, because he had nothing of his own. And when the time came for him to be executed, and they crucified him there upon the cross, and now came the time, you see, when the condemned man's property and everything would be distributed, so that supposedly, after his death, the very remembrance of him would be removed from the earth. What did they have him by way of property? Nothing but a seamless robe. He lived in life some 30 or 33 years, and the only thing by way of property was this piece of clothing for which the soldiers gambled to obtain possession of it. Ah, yes, he could present this sort of a Christ unto them. He is the one that knows what it is to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and to go into a home where the folks feel as if life has just beat them down, just pressured them down, squeezed all of the strength out of them. They say, ah, no, Christ and religion and all this, that's for the folks that have been born with a silver spoon in their mouth. This is for the folks that have a high standard of living. We see them, they drive in their Cadillacs and they drive in their Lincoln Continentals, and we see them go into the great fashionable churches and wearing their expensive clothes. But God doesn't have anything to say to me. I'm below the notice of God. What a thrill it is to present unto them the Lord Jesus Christ, and to cause them to know that they can be the sheep of his pasture if so they desire. To present unto them the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you notice, in verse number 9, for instance, for he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The person, you see, who says, I don't see any purpose to life. You live, and you struggle, and you labor, and you work, and then maybe you get sick, and all of it's gone, and you struggle your way all the way through life, and you get to the end of your age, and you know that death is not far away, and you look back down through the years, and you say, well, I haven't accomplished a single thing. I talked to a millionaire one time in his last days upon earth, and he was a wizened up little old man, and he would sit by the front window of his house in his big old easy chair, and he was so small, he looked like a little boy sitting there. And he had the curtain tied back so that he could look out and watch the cars come and go. And he said, preacher, he said, when I was a young man, I said, now my goal in life is to be a millionaire. And he says, and I've accomplished it. I have bought lobsters for 3 cents a pound. And I have turned around and I have sold those lobsters for 3.5 cents a pound. I've gained a half a penny here. And I've gained 3 pennies there. And I've gained a nickel here. And he said, and I've loaned money at 8% and 10% and 12% interest to people that couldn't borrow money anywhere else because their credit was poor. And then many times I'd get their fishing boats back again because they couldn't pay. And I'd turn around and I'd tell, he says, I have devised every means to gain my $1 million, and I have. He owned a big hotel down here in the southern part of Florida the last half of his life. And he says, but you know, I've given up everything to gain that $1 million. Now he said, preacher, if I could do it, I would give the $1 million back again to begin back there in the young years of my manhood, and I'd live my life differently. He never made a profession of faith in Christ. But even this worldly man says, I've done foolishly. I wish now I could trade the $1 million back in again and start over where I did when I said that I wanted $1 million more than any other thing in the world. Now here's the one mentioned here. They said, ah, we're not millionaires, but we want something that will satisfy. Ah, the Lord is the answer. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. He led them by the way of righteousness. Ah, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and find direction, to find purpose, to find meaning in life. I like what is said, and I never found a better definition anywhere than in the Shorter Catechism, where it says the chief purpose of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. This is the reason for which God has created each and every living soul today. For we find in the beginning of the book of Genesis that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It comes to the time when his body dies and is buried in the earth, but man, that one, that personality, goes on living forever and forever and forever. And God created man in the Garden of Eden because God wanted fellowship with man. He wanted to walk and to talk with man in the cool of the evening there in that garden. But man sinned and the barrier was drawn between God and man. Years later, the Lord Jesus Christ came to die upon the cross, that as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that barrier of sin is removed and the fellowship can be enjoined again. God walking with man down through the centuries and the ages of eternity. You were created to have eternal fellowship with God and with His Christ. And if you're not enjoying it, you're selling yourself short from that which God has originally created and purposed your life should be. Now, He established their goings. He gave them a city of habitation in which to dwell, and they have responded. They have said, for the first time, I have found a friend, capital F. I have found one now to stick up closer than a brother. And the psalmist says, all right now, sopranos, let's all join together now in this chorus. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. And so they go on to practice for this great concert. All right, altos, what are you going to sing about? Well, our story is different than the sopranos. They were the ones that were completely demoralized, completely strengthless because of living their life under peculiar circumstances and situations. But our life is different from theirs. Oh, we were not without strength, but our strength was in the wrong way. You see what's said about them? In verse number 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. These are the ones who did consider the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, yes, I know what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're all sinners, but I don't believe that. I believe I can pull myself up by my own bootstrings. I believe I can work my way into heaven. I believe I can join a church or get baptized or do some other thing, and I believe that when I die, I'll go to be with God in heaven. These are those that said, I don't believe there's such a thing as heaven. I don't believe there's such a thing as hell. I don't believe there's such a thing as sin. I think that maybe people make moral mistakes once in a while, but after all, none of us is perfect, and even the Bible itself says, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. And I don't believe that it's really as bad as the preacher makes it out to be. These did consider the claims of God and of His Christ and rejected these things, so God left them to their own devices. You see what the word is here? Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Why? Because they were trusting in themselves. And when they fell down, their strength disappeared. Many folks are like this. Oh, we've talked to, I guess, scores of people. We've talked to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have said to us, literally, we don't need God in our life. They said that if we took God into our life, what more could we have? I'm in the prime of life. I have a good job. I have an income. You see the home that I live in? You see the car that I drive? Do you see the beautiful wife that I have? Do you see my strong, healthy children, active in sports, popular in school? Do you see my boat, motor, and trailer? Have you ever visited my home up in North Carolina? Now really, now, what advantage would it be to me if I took God in my heart and life as you're trying to get me to do? I don't have time, sometimes they say. My business demands all of my time. You know, in most of the cases in which we have dealt, there has come a time when that person will send for us. And maybe he's on a hospital bed. Suddenly his life has come to a halt. Suddenly now he does have time to consider the claims of God and of His Christ. He trusts in himself, but when his strength is gone, he has nothing left, you see, in which to trust. We were talking to a person once about tithing their income unto the Lord. And he says, listen, I work hard for every dollar that I make. It's all mine. I said, who gives you the strength to go to your job? Who gives you the intelligence to perform it to the best of your ability? Who has given you the ability to lift yourself up to this position? See, it's God in each and every answer. We certainly do owe Him something. And here's the man that trusts in himself. He says, I don't believe that I need to use religion as a crutch There's a doctor with whom we're dealing, have dealt with, I guess, the past 2 years in Daytona Beach. And he says, religion is a crutch. It's all right for those that are so weak that they can't get through life by themselves. But he says, I don't need religion for a crutch. I'm strong enough in my own strength, and I can go on by myself. His wife and his children come to the chapel. He says, that's all right. They're weak people. Weak-minded is what he calls them. And his wife says, now, you've met Mr. Morgan. He's as big as you are. You like him? Yes, but he's weak-minded, too. That does something for your ego, I tell you. Weak-minded people. So we're a chapel full of weak-minded people. Well, we've been praying for this man now for 2 years. The brethren in the chapel have diligently upheld that man before the throne of grace. And now we see a softening entering in. We see at least an awareness of spiritual things. His wife says, you know, he picks up letters of interest, and he reads some of the articles out of it now. He picks up food for the flock, and he picks up what copies of Light and Liberty there may be lying around. Maybe he reads a little poem out of it. Maybe he reads a little short article. For the first time, we're seeing a softening in his heart and in his life. To this point, you see, he said, I am sufficient unto myself. But you know, we've been praying along this line. We've been praying, Lord, may the pleasures of sin be sour in his mouth. And I think this is true. He is busy with all of the pleasures of the world, and he goes to the dog track every night in the week. But now maybe he's finding that these things don't quite satisfy the way they used to. We're praying along this end. Here's the one that's trusted in himself, but he comes to the point where he himself is not enough. And they said, yes, we were strong, but we were strong away from the Lord. And the Lord turns us around. Well, what do you have to sing to us this afternoon or this morning? Oh, the men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and so on and so forth. We go on now to the one who is the deathly waystroke. In verse 17, fools because of their transgression. And remember now the definition, the biblical definition of the word fool is one who doesn't have God in his life. It's not one who is mentally deficient or one about whom a joke is made. But a fool, by biblical definition, is one who has either not considered the claims of God or has left God out of his life. Now here's the case. This fool, because of his transgression and because of his iniquity, is afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Now, if this isn't the picture of the alcoholic, I don't know what is. The alcoholic who lives on alcohol alone, literally, he abhors all manner of meat. And already he's going the downward steps. He's not far from the grave itself. They said, oh yes, we've talked now about the one who was beaten down by life. We've talked about the one who was self-sufficient until the Lord straightened him around and he trusted in the Lord. He said, but you know, we were totally dedicated to every pleasure there was in life. Every appetite of the flesh we gave ourselves over unto. We followed the philosophy of the Epicureans, you know. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There is no pleasure in life that we have not tried because we thought we're here for one thing, and that is to enjoy life. Sickness comes soon enough. Death will come on apace. Therefore, while we have strength and youth and vitality, let us give ourselves to sin and to pleasure. And we did. And we've ruined ourselves because of it. Brethren, there are Christians today who are born again. But their bodies are ruined because of lives of sin in their youth. Because of dissipation. Small wonder then the word of God says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Wherefore then does the word of God say, it is good to bear the yoke in one's youth? Praise the Lord for Christian homes. Praise the Lord when children come to Jesus at an early age and don't have those bad habits and don't have those ravages of sin in their lives. When they can present not only a soul unto the Lord, which is clean and purified by his blood, but also a body which is clean and pure because of the lack of the ravages of sin in it. They said, no, we gave ourselves completely to everything that this world had to offer, and we were right at the very point of death itself. Now, do you mean to tell me that a holy God would be interested in having fellowship with one who had gone the way of all flesh and had simply gone with the stream and allowed himself to do everything that the world allowed these days? Yes, for the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He himself ate with publicans and with sinners. He himself said to the adulterous woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. They said, we have a marvelous testimony to sing. We have a verse to sing of praise unto our God. But what are you going to sing in the chorus? Well, the same that these other folks are singing. We have exactly the same chorus. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Our chorus of praise is no different, because even though our backgrounds are different, we have all come the same way. The way of the cross still leads home. And the last, the fourth group, are these folks who have always been respectable folks. Before, they looked down their noses at the alcoholics, and they looked down their noses at these who have engaged in sensual and worldly pleasures. Now, I think this last group is probably the group of folks that have never sworn. They've perhaps never had anything bad to say about anybody. They have believed that if you can't say something good about somebody, then don't say anything at all. This is the type of person that you would like living next door to you. This is the type of person that you would like for a friend. They always go to church at the appointed time. They engage themselves in the Heart Fund and the Cancer Fund and the Community Chest and the United Fund and all of these other things. Good, decent, moral, upstanding, clean living people, but they're not saved. They're not saved. And they said, you see, why, these go down to the sea, these go down and do business in great waters, and you see, they even have a testimony for the Lord. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Their commerce carries them afar. And they sit and they behold the sunset and they say, isn't the Lord wonderful that in his creation he has created all of these things for us? And what sunrises we see in Florida and what sunsets we see in Florida. And we say, the Lord is the only one who can use something green and put it up against something blue and not have a clash of colors. And they go down to the ocean and they see the storms and everything else and they say, truly, the one who has created all of these things around about us is truly a wonderful intelligence. He is a supreme being. What a great might, what a great power must be his. And they give some sort of gratitude or commendation to the way that the Lord has worked and is working. But the Lord is not satisfied with this. Unless they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, they will be as lost as anyone ever was. For we must have more than a nodding acquaintance with God and with his Christ. The Word of God says, unless ye believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be forever lost. So the Lord has to do a work, and he apparently causes a great storm to come up. And they mount up to the heaven, and they go down again to the depths. In verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end, or literally come to the end of their own wisdom. They say, well, now we can't understand this. We go to church every Sunday. We have prayer. We say grace around our dinner table. We're great, grateful for Thanksgiving and for the land of freedom in which we live and that God gives us the ability to pay taxes. Why would God do such a thing as this? He endeavors again to bring them to the end of their own wisdom. And they come to the end of themselves. When we come to the end of ourselves, then you see is the beginning of God. The prodigal son, who said within himself, I am a fool to stay here. When in my father's house there is bread enough and to spare. So when they come to the end of themselves, then they do as the other three have done before them. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. You see, they have a different kind of distress. They have the distress of respectability. Many times, a person's religion will get in the way of his being saved. The distress of the other one was the distress of the sins of the flesh. With another one, the distress, you see, was that of trusting in himself. Doesn't make any difference what the distress is. The Lord delivers them out of all of their distresses. And they called upon the name of the Lord, and he saved them. They all came the same way. So now we've had the sopranos, and we've had the altos, and we've had the tenors, and we've had the basses. And they all sing a separate verse, you see. They all sing a separate solo part, and it's different in subject matter, and it's different in tonal quality. But when they come to the chorus, it's, all right, now we'll all join together. And one thinks, the Lord saved me from alcoholism. Another one says, the Lord saved me from an untimely death because of the sins of the flesh. Another one says, the Lord saved me literally out of religion and respectability, you see, and caused me to be one of his own redeemed. Another one says, the Lord saved me from myself. I was trusting in myself, and I found that I had to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're all thinking of the different backgrounds from which they have come, but they all sing exactly the same words. Oh, that men would praise God for his goodness, and for his goodness unto the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And brethren, so each of us here this morning, one of us could say, the Lord saved me out of alcoholism. Another one could say, well, I was born in a Christian home and I thought I was on my way to heaven, but the Lord didn't save me until I was 25 or 30 or 50. We each have different backgrounds, but each of us would have to confess that the chorus was the same in this celestial song that we were singing. We all came by the way of the cross. We all found that the way of the cross leads home. We would all have to confess that each of us was saved in the same way. We took the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, and believing on him, we were saved. And so this celestial chorus comes. These four groups, soprano, alto, tenor, and bass, they all join together in the magnificent, wonderful chorus of praise. And the subject matter is the Lord and his wonderful works to the children of men. Maybe the Lord's been speaking to your heart this morning about trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that all classes of living people today can be fit into one of these four classes mentioned here. You may have found yourself in one of these classes and you need to be saved. Those of us that are saved have readily found ourselves in one of these classes. If you would like to trust the Lord Jesus Christ this morning as your own personal Savior, to believe on him and to be saved, we'd like to talk with you following the close of the meeting and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture. Now we're going to ask you to stand, and we're going to ask the Lord to commend the word unto our hearts as we dismiss the meeting. May we stand. Our Father and our God, how we praise thee this morning hour for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank you, Father, that he was not discouraged when first he approached us and we rebuffed him and turned from him, but that, Father, he pursued us and that he wooed us and won us by the Holy Spirit unto himself. We pray thee, our Father, for the ongoing of the word this morning hour, that thy Holy Spirit might impress it indelibly upon our hearts, that each of us who are saved might rejoice in the fact that we are saved, and that perhaps, Father, there is one or several here who do not know Christ as Savior, who have never trusted him and believed in him as their very own. Father, we pray thee that these might desire to know how to be saved this morning hour. We pray, Father, that thou mightest get fruit unto thyself because of this meeting this morning. For we bring all of these things before thee in the wondrous name of the Lord Jesus Christ with much thanksgiving, and for his sake alone, amen.